Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yesterday, WNYC reporter Marianne McCune visited the LaGuardia houses on the Lower East Side to see how some of the city's public housing residents are doing in Sandy's wake. She joins us now to discuss the situation in NYCHA complexes, many of which are still without power. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Brian.
So high-rise public housing has its own unique set of problems during and after a storm like this. What did you find?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the big thing is the elevators aren't working, so these are the complex that I was visiting is 16 stories, not that tall, but for anybody who's not physically very able getting down those stairs, and even people who are able, it is pitch black in those stairways. There's no emergency lighting. You literally, if you don't have a light, you have to feel your way with your toes down the stairs, and I did this because my cell phone died as I was going down using it as a flashlight. There is also no heat, and it is getting a little bit cold. And then the water isn't working because the water runs on electricity as well. So that means no showers. I met people who were, you know, vacating just to go take a shower in Brooklyn. More importantly, the toilets aren't flushing. And the thing that residents were doing in that neighborhood was they were going out to the fire hydrant that was on and filling any bottle or jar they had to bring up to splash into their toilets. But again, those are people who can easily go up and down the stairs. And then the phones aren't working. So if you're a person without either physical or mental or economic resources, these are major challenges.
Was this one of the complexes that Mayor Bloomberg ordered to evacuate? Remember, before the storm came in on Monday, there were a series of buses that the city had provided to take people out of public housing, and after a point, he said, look, you're kind of on your own. We're offering transportation, but we're asking everybody in Zone A, including in public housing, to evacuate.
This complex was not in Zone A. It's in Zone B, or maybe even between. It's like B is very skinny right there. So there are a lot of people there, and I've met a lot of people in Zone B areas that are close to Zone A who had said, like, why weren't we in Zone A? Why weren't we told to evacuate? But I also did
see. So it's another example of how the storm surge was really worse than even was anticipated.
Absolutely. And many people who were in Zone A didn't evacuate. I mean, I saw those vans driving around on the big day of the hurricane, and with the loudspeakers saying, you know, you will be charged with a Class B misdemeanor if you don't leave. But people don't want to leave. And a great example of that, even though she wasn't in Zone A, so she wasn't supposed to evacuate, but I met this 87-year-old woman named Margaret Maynard. She lives on the 8th floor of the LaGuardia houses. And I knocked on her door, and because somebody had – it's like a weird story, but friend of a friend of a friend sent me an email saying her nephews were trying to reach her and could somebody go and check on her. And she opened up, and she was happy. I mean, she was stuck though. But she didn't want to leave. She got supplies from the senior center before the storm. She had packets of crackers and cookies and some packets of tuna. And she stayed home from, you know, the storm hit. She stayed home. She didn't talk to anybody during that time until yesterday when I knocked on the door. Nobody knocked on her door. Mm. Nobody could get through on the phone. And so I came in and said, would you like to use my phone? Which wasn't working very well either, but we managed to – we called her sister, couldn't get through, managed to call her the maid of honor in her wedding 60
wow.
years ago. Her best friend who lives in Harlem.
To say she's okay.
Let's say she's okay. And they immediately got into this argument about whether she should stay or go. And let's listen to a little bit of that, Margaret Maynard.
So I just got to stay put and eat what I got, you know.
Stay put, but you can't stay there like that, Margaret.
What am I going to do?
So the conversation went on and on, kept coming back to, you can't stay there, Margaret, and her saying, where am I going to go? How am I going to walk down the stairs? And, you know, I saw her shuffling through her apartment. It would not have been easy for her to get down those stairs.
I'm with the friend, though, because we don't know how many days the power is going to be off and how many crackers can she eat and does she even have?
Yeah, she did. you know, the very first thing she said to me when she opened the door, I said, how are you? And she said, I'm okay. And then she said, I thought there was some ham in my refrigerator, but I couldn't find it. Somebody had come over and she thought she had some ham there. She had other food as well. But, I mean, let me just reassure you, her, the Doris,
her friend
ended up calling her sister. The sister got her son involved, and by the end of the day, her nephew had come to pick her up, and she is now in Queens at her nephew's house. Well, I don't know if she's happy about it.
After hearing your story this morning and now this, I am actually relieved to hear that. How much of the public housing population is elderly or disabled?
I don't have those big answers. I've been out in the field and not able to make a lot of calls to officials, but I understand there are near 10,000 apartments that are designed for senior citizens. But I can't say whether Margaret was living in one of those apartments or whether she just happens to be an old person.
And is it NYCHA's responsibility to check in on senior residents and provide food, water, flashlights, basic resources?
I can tell you what I saw, which is a woman who hadn't been checked on by any of her neighbors. She sort of went through everybody who was living on her floor and nobody had checked on her, and certainly nobody from the complex had checked on her. But there are great efforts to help people like her. I ended up I went to the senior center to see if they were open and doing anything. And that senior center is run by Henry Street Settlement, and they were the senior center wasn't open, but they were across the street handing out food in their headquarters. They were cooking burgers and hot dogs that were going to spoil, passing those out. I told them about Margaret, and they put her on the list of, you know, they were also delivering. They do Meals on Wheels regularly, but they were also trying to reach people that they knew wouldn't be able to come down the stairs. And there are lots of those kinds of, you know, there's University Settlement. There are lots of services there. And people who are trying to help.
I was thinking last night about people with EBT cards, also known as food stamps, and thinking that, well, maybe they're going to be kind of okay because they don't have to go to the offices anymore to get the food stamps every month or get them sent in the mail. The card automatically is refilled, at the end of the month, electronically from Central.
But
right?
Not this week. They are not okay. That's something specific that people brought up with me in the dark hallway lit by a lighter. There was one guy who was saying, you know, some of the stores are open around here, but they're only taking cash because they don't have their electronic equipment. So people can't use those cards. And people said, you know, it's the end of the month. We're waiting for our checks. There's no way to cash checks. People have said that there's a cash shortage in the ATMs, and I saw a Rite Aid that was dark but open with a long line outside of it. They were letting three people in at a time to shop, but it was cash only.
What about the people who are waiting for checks of various kinds, who are in poverty and are getting this as their subsistence or sustenance, and really are living hand to mouth?
I met one woman also on the way down those stairs who had just moved in a week earlier with her son from a homeless shelter in the Bronx. And she was just really beside herself. She hadn't left the apartment. She didn't know what was going on. We got outside and she started asking me, is there light anywhere in the city? She didn't know that it was just limited to the neighborhood that we were in. And
Are there shelters that will take in evacuees from public housing who are leaving only now? We think of the evacuees as having fled, just before the storm. It sounds like there are, or maybe should be, a new stream of evacuees.
Well, there are shelters, but what I heard in that neighborhood was one of the local shelters got so full they had to move people out of it into another one. I met a woman who was volunteering there for a few days, and she said, though the staff was doing great work, trying very hard, it was very full. She talked about there being competition for food and competition for places to plug in your phone, and at least some of the shelters are very full.
WNYC's Marianne McCune reporting on the LaGuardia houses on the Lower East Side as an example of what's going on with some seniors in some public housing complexes in New York City. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our coverage continues.